The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library with additional support from Clark County Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, and Wright Memorial Public Library.
Hello, welcome to Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and it's my pleasure to welcome back to the program today Gary Steingart. He joins us on the telephone in New York City. Welcome back, Gary.
So great to be back, Vic.
Gary, you've got a new book out. It's called Our Country Friends, and you really threw me for a loop here, Gary, because you were on that four-year cycle your whole career. Every book came out every 4 years, and this one's, I think, only 3 years. How did you do it?
First of all, Vic, thanks for noticing. I mean, it's true. I've decided to work on a book every 4 years is my schedule, and my dream is to publish 12 books, by which point I should be about 73, and then I guess I can die or something. But this book came out real quickly because it was about the pandemic, or the pandemic is rather the backdrop for this book. And I began writing it in March of 2020, just as things got underway pandemic-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I was finished about 6-7 months later, because I was writing it in real time, just as things were happening to me and to others, of course. And so, that was my quickest turnaround ever.
That was super fast for you. Were you out in isolation in a similar place to where your novel is set?
Yeah, I spend most of my year in the country in about 100 miles north of New York in northern Dutchess County. And it is very, very bucolic, kind of like Yellow Springs a little bit. There's some nice stores and restaurants, but it's pretty distant from the hubbub. So that is my favorite place to be. It's where I live the most, and that's where I was during the pandemic. So both enjoying life up there, the nature, and also feeling a bit guilty about being away from New York, where, of course, one of the first clusters of the pandemic began, and I was very worried for my friends. And so Our Country Friends, in a way, the novel is sort of me reimagining where I was with all of my friends from the city and sort of combining them into these characters and letting them loose in my imagination and then letting them loose on the page.
Did you actually have friends come in stay with you, or was that just imaginary?
Not for a while.
Okay.
When I came to this country, I didn't know any English. I had a lot of imaginary friends, so I'm really good at creating imaginary friends. I can really summon them at a second. And I'm good at recreating conversations. So what I did is I created, 7 or 8 imaginary friends. Then I would take these long country walks, and I would have these imaginary conversations with my imaginary friends and then type them all down on my very real iPhone. And then I would go home and I would sort of, like a scriptwriter, almost turn them into dialogue. And then I would turn those into prose. And so that's how I operated. And every day I would write, double what I usually write, which is why, as you've mentioned before, yes, I was on a 3-year instead of a 4-year schedule.
You were strolling around, entering all this into your apparat?
you remember Super Sad. Yes, my apparat, which I hate, but find useful at times like these for, note-taking duties. I don't even own a pen and pad anymore. It's all, all that horrible thing.
Well, I remember when Super Sad True Love Story came out, it was like the technology was changing so fast. I think the iPhone came out right after that book came out, right?
Yeah, around that time.
Uh-huh.
It certainly came out before I wrote most of the book. So,
okay.
I remember I was struggling to figure out how MySpace worked, for that.
Right.
Like that. So,
right.
Old MySpace.
Gary Steingart joins us. His book is Our Country Friends. All right, you have this bucolic setting, and you have this group of friends that get together. Set the scene for us.
So it is the beginning of the pandemic, and there is a failing Russian novelist named Sasha Senderovsky who owns a kind of bungalow colony. He owns there's a main house, and there's 4 little bungalows attached. And all of his friends are fleeing the pandemic. I'll tell you, one of the friends is named D. Cameron, just like the Cameron, the famous book by Boccaccio about Florentine nobles fleeing the pandemic back in the, I'm guessing, 15th century.
Oh.
So similar set of, yeah. good writers, bad writers borrow, good writers just steal. and so it's D. Cameron is a fiery Southern essayist who shows up. Then there is a very sad, sick writer named Dinood. There is a Korean dandy named Ed Park. And there is the owner of a famous new app company called True Emotions, which makes people fall in love with each other. And her name is Karen Cho. So it's this kind of menagerie of different people in different phases of life. And all of them are, or many of them are, bound by being friends in high school. And into this mix is thrown a kind of villain, known only as the actor. And the actor shows up, and many people fall in love with him. He's like this hand grenade that goes off and wreaks havoc around the whole group of old friends. So the book, I mean, if people ask me what it's about, people keep, you know, the reviews keep mentioning it's a pandemic novel, which is true. The pandemic is the setting for it. But I think the main goal of this book is about dissecting friendships, especially friendships that began during the one's teenage years and have continued into our 40s. And I am also, of course, in my late 40s. So that is sort of the main theme of the book, as well as love and family.
The actor shows up, and he's really not a friend, but he's there because Sasha, your failing writer, is desperate to try to get some kind of a movie deal going with this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And
so there's a lot of fun scenes about them trying to write the script together, but the actor is actually quite pretentious and keeps comparing himself to Odysseus and other literary heroes, and Sasha just wants to get this thing done and, you know, make some money because his bungalow colony is falling apart.
Have you met people like the actor?
Oh, sure. I've worked in television for quite a while. So while there's no one single person who represents the actor, little bits and pieces of people I've worked with have made their way into it. Especially the idea that, you know, that, the actor in America, because we don't have a monarchy, we don't officially have an aristocracy, although sometimes it feels like we do, you know, celebrities are sort of thrust into that role with often terrible consequences.
And Sasha, you write this from everybody's points of view. I like the way that you constructed this. And Sasha, he's a little failure as a writer, to use a term. He's a lot like you in some ways. I mean, anyone that knows about you and reads this book is going to go, you know, oh, Sasha, the blurber.
Yes, that's true. He and I do share many things in common. We both grew up in part in upstate New York. I grew up in Ellenville, New York, across the river. And there was a small Russian bungalow colony, which really was the best part of my childhood, hanging around with fellow Russian immigrants, not being worried about my accent or what I said or how I spoke. And Sasha has a similar, I only have one bungalow next to my house, one little guest house. Sasha has four. And he is very much a failing novelist. Everything is, his books haven't sold in years. So he's very desperate. A lot of the plot hinges on him trying to get this script done. And for that, he depends on the actor's good graces. But the actor is not a very graceful person, so his graces aren't very good.
And he's married to a woman named Masha, and they have similar backgrounds. In fact, isn't Sasha your age and from the same place in Russia?
Yes, we are from St. Petersburg. Well, Leningrad, when we were growing up, now it's changed to St. Petersburg, which I still feel it's a city in Florida. to me, Leningrad will always be Leningrad. Yes, and so there's some discussion of where he came from. And his wife, Masha, is also from St. Petersburg, and she is a Russian psychiatrist who deals with, her clients are all very elderly Russian women are very, very far right wing in their disposition. And the book is also set, because it's continuous with the pandemic, it's also set partly during the Trump era. So all of that stuff comes to bear.
So as you were writing this, things were happening, like the George Floyd thing happened. You're writing this in real time. I don't know if you actually say his name in the book, but we know that's what it is.
Yes, that's what it is. Yes. Yes. No, it was, I mean, you know, obviously I've written dystopian fiction like Super Sad True Love Story, but this was a real dystopia come to life. It's not that we, you know, racism didn't exist in America before George Floyd, but seeing that happen and also seeing the horrendous response from the then president and seeing the horrific response to the pandemic, you know, as I was writing this, I remember showing it to some friends and they said, well, you know, the pandemic will probably be over by the time this book comes out. Aren't you worried that, you know, this is just going to be a blip? And as, you know, a former citizen of the Soviet Union, I know when these giant empires collapse. And I said to them, this isn't going to be over, you know. We just don't have the will to end this. And unfortunately, I feel like I was right about this.
Yeah, I think you got lucky there, Gary. I think it's going
to
be going.
I got really lucky to live in a. I got lucky to live in a crumbling society.
There you go. Well, from one to the next. My guess is Gary.
Exactly.
My guess is Gary Steingart. His new novel is Our Country Friends, and I want to talk about their daughter because she's just a wonderful character.
Oh, thank you.
Tell us about her.
So her name is Natasha, but she's shortened it to Nat. She is very gender fluid, and she is super smart at the age of 8 and already says, you know, my pronouns are her and she, but I reserve the right to change them at a future date, is how she introduces herself. And she's very precocious, but she also has trouble making friends, as many precocious kids do. Her mother is worried that she may have Asperger's or ADHD or something like that. But her main problem is that she has trouble making friends at her school. She goes to a very expensive Manhattan school that also has very much drained Sasha's bank account. So he has to pay for both his dacha and his daughter's very expensive Manhattan education. It was really lovely to write her character because also a little sad. You know, one of the characters refers to her as being from Generation L, by which he means Generation Last. And Nat herself is very mindful of the collapse of the ecology and something she talks about quite a bit, almost blaming the adults at Sasha's house for the calamities that her generation will have to endure. Mm. So, yes, it's 7 adults, and it's a very precocious 8-year-old who knows that her future is the future of her generation is very much in doubt.
Natasha develops a bond with Karen Cho, and Karen Cho is another really intriguing character. She long ago fell in love with this other character. Is it Vinod? You pronounce it?
Vinod. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, he's my favorite character. Vinod.
I had a feeling you'd have a soft spot for him. Yeah. You really feel for him. And, you know, Vinod is the only person there who is, I mean, some people, you know, like Sasha and Dee are middle class, but Vinod is one person who really lives very precariously. His career never took off for various reasons. I don't want to give away some of them because they're explored in the book. But he lived in Elmhurst, which for those who know New York and who know Queens, that was one of the epicenters of the COVID virus when it struck. Yes, exactly. And you know, many of these characters come from that part of Queens, Jackson Heights, Elmhurst, and they're all children of immigrants. And it is an area that is probably one of the most diverse, if not the most diverse parts of the country. Maybe Los Angeles has something like it. So Vinod is somebody who's very poor and also has lost a lung to cancer. So he is a little bit immunocompromised. So he's somebody who ends up at this colony who really needs to escape from New York at that point in time. And he undergoes many metamorphoses in this book. I don't want to reveal too many of them, but there is an unrequited love that he begins to explore. And I wanted to treat, as so many of my books have been so satirical, Absurdistan comes to mind, where, I had these larger-than-life, quite literally with Absurdistan, they weighed about 400 pounds.
Yeah.
These larger-than-life, but for this book, maybe just because I'm getting older and because I am a father myself now, I wanted to be a little kinder to my characters. And it was very painful to write about Vinod and many of his struggles and tribulations because I really began to feel for him.
You are such a keen observer. You clearly have been watching BTS, the surge of BTS popularity. This is a big part of the story.
Yes. I became a huge fan of BTS as I was writing them. I don't know what it is there. I mean, obviously they're very much a manufactured artifact. And musically speaking, they're not the Rolling Stones or the Beatles. But there's something very cool about them. First, the fact that they come from Korea. Many of my friends, my mentor was Korean American. My wife is Korean American, so it's a culture I know and love quite a bit. It was just great to feature BTS prominently. Not that they need me to feature them prominently. They are, I think, the most popular musical act in the world at this point, much in the way that Squid Game is the most popular television series in the world. So Korea is definitely having a moment. In this book, I have one Korean-American character, one a character born in Korea, who is this dandy, this wealthy dandy who, doesn't even have Korean citizenship. He's a Canadian/Swiss/UK citizen. BTS also features prominently. So I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun just watching their videos. They're very slick, but there's something sweet about those guys too.
I know another writer who's just obsessed with that group. I won't mention her name, but I see her Twitter feed and I just go, ooh, okay. It's like BTS all day long.
I'm very curious.
You might know.
Well, that's the thing about being a writer. The thing about being a writer is you really can write well for maybe 3 good hours, and then after that, it's all diminishing returns. So, and I write in bed, so there's a lot of opportunity to goof off too. So,
Well, she lives in Queens. The woman who's obsessed with BTS. You might know who she is.
I'm getting an idea.
You just alluded to your mentor. Is that Chang Rae Lee?
Yes, Chang Rae Lee, exactly. A great book come out last year.
I had him on for that book. That book blew me away because he always wrote such serious stuff, and that book was hilarious.
I know.
I thought he's channeling Steingart here. He's channeling Gary in this. He's so funny.
Oh, my God. That's so funny because I've been channeling him my whole career because he was my mentor and he wrote so beautifully about the immigrant experience. But, yeah, that book is really hilarious and just filled with food and travel. Uh-huh. So, in a sense, I was reading it obviously during the pandemic as were others, and it was just such a joy to read and think about food. And so many of the television stuff that I watched, Netflix, et cetera, during the pandemic revolved around food. A show called Midnight Diner about a diner in Tokyo that only operates from 12 to 7 a.m. Became one of my favorite shows. And also Terrace House, which is a show about very sweet Japanese young men and women living together in Tokyo. And that's referenced in the book quite a bit too.
Uh-huh.
So the book, I feel like this, the book isn't entirely about the pandemic, but there's a kind of pandemic feel to it in the sense that it's maybe not as overplotted as some of my other books with all the crazy things happening and wars and conflicts and, although there is some crazy technology in this too, much as a Super Sad True Love Story.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned early on that you live in an area that's kind of reminiscent of this area where we are in Southwest Ohio. And as I was reading your book, I kept thinking, see, I live out in the country. I see the blue flags. I hear the gunfire. Mm-hmm. I've got a guy just down the road from me with a flag that says, he won, big blue flag. We hear gunfire all the time. In your book, the gun will go off and people will say, oh, gee, it's not hunting season. It's like, well, hey, you live in the country. Get used to it.
Yeah.
And so is that what it's like?
There's a lot of, yeah.
Is that where?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And it, but now, you know, we are one of the most purple counties in America, I think, if we really break 50-50 in terms of political views.
Mm.
And it's always a grab bag of who's going to win the election. You know, Trump won, but Obama had won before that. It really just goes all over the place. And you know, our congressperson constantly is, you know, Republican one year, and then every 2 years, maybe a Democrat. So there's a lot of second homeowners who come up and then decide to stay, especially during the pandemic, decide to move up from New York City. So we are a very mixed bunch. I mean, you could all, you know, there's like a Blue Lives Matter flag house facing a house where, you know, hate has no home here, or one of those, you know, in this house we believe blah, blah, blah signs. Very mixed environment.
My guest is Gary Steingart. Yeah. The book is Our Country Friends. And that brings us to, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that you have this sort of ominous sense of dread that you build in the story because of this pickup truck.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there were, all the city urban folks who show up are haunted by this black pickup truck that sometimes passes a little bit too close to them. And Sasha thinks there's, you know, decals denoting a kind of very far right, almost Nazi disposition on behalf of the driver who pilots that truck. Yeah, there's definitely some stuff going on that scares the characters. And it does develop into a bit of a mystery as to what the owner of the truck, what designs he has on members of this group. Remember, there's a famous actor, and there's a woman who runs this billion-dollar app company, and there's all these other people, and there's four Asian Americans, so all this, and also this was written contemporaneously with the awful anti-Asian violence and hate that we saw. So there's a lot of sort of moving parts about who is responsible for that truck, and we find out in the end. I'm not going to reveal what happens, but it becomes a kind of country mystery.
Mm. And there's also a lot of really good food, and I thought, now this is Gary. Gary loves really good food. I've been following you on Twitter since you first went on there, which kind of surprised me. It surprised me when you went on Twitter, and you like to post pictures of yourself with really good food or a really good cocktail, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And you always look real pleased about it.
My body goes through such a metamorphosis when I encounter good food, or especially well-mixed martini or Gibson or Negroni or what have you. It's just, I grew up with Russian cuisine, which is just, I have to say it, not that good. There's a certain lack of spice to it. So whenever I encounter, Indian food or Korean food you name it, and mix that in with some nice spicy cocktail, this pleasure shoots through my body. And I decided, and that was especially a real balm during the height of the pandemic, when we didn't really leave our house. We had a kind of pandemic pod with our best friends upstate, and they would come by, and every week we would grill, and we would sort of even wear our masks during the grilling, which was, kind of weird, but we would do that, and we became even closer friends, and also we really enjoyed the food, grilling vegetables and meats and all kinds of stuff, and so the book is filled with, there's even a recipe in the middle of the book for vitello tonnato, this delicious dish that my friend James makes. And I thank him in the acknowledgments because it's just a really delicious dish.
Is James your Ed Kim?
No, there's a lot of characters who went into Ed. I'll give you one example of how I make a character. So I had a friend a long time ago who did this thing whenever he was talking to someone and he had any social anxiety, especially if he was talking to an attractive woman that maybe he desired, he would put his hand to his ear, almost like he was contacting, Sputnik or something. He would just do this. And in his book, he does that quite a bit. And that was one thing that I decided to steal from this one person. So that's the way I think many writers approach writing characters, is you kind of, you go on a kind of spree and put together 10, 20 people and make one character out of them. Unless there's one character who's just so amazing that, you have to just feel that entire character.
Okay. Are you a good cook yourself?
I'm a terrible cook. I barely know how to boil water.
All right.
So I rely on the kindness of strangers, as they say.
All right. So you are a little bit like Sasha. In many ways, you're like Sasha.
Yeah. Bad cook, bad driver. Yeah. But
you're a nice guy.
A better father.
You're a nice guy,
yeah,
right? I was surprised when I read the piece recently in the New York Times about you, because I think of you as a really private guy, and your privacy was still pretty respected in that article. But still, I mean, there's a picture of you by your house. We found out some stuff about you we didn't know. Is that difficult for you when you're out publicizing a book to reveal stuff like that?
Yeah, less and less so. I mean, I wrote a piece for The New Yorker about a very difficult surgery and a very difficult part of me. That article can be found. It's called My Gentile Region. I feel like at this point in my life, having written a memoir that reveals so much about my life, I feel like, and living also in times where there isn't much privacy, I feel more eager or more willing, at least, to share the difficult moments of my life. And I'm very lucky that the audiences that I have are so kind to me and so loving. And I know it's COVID time, so my book tour is, a lot of it is virtual. Some of it is, it live. I did my first live reading 2 days ago, and it was just wonderful to see, just greet maybe 100 people and interact with them and sign books. So, I don't mind sharing because, for the most part, the feedback I get from people is so kind.
Okay. Are you going on book tour at all? Are you going anywhere?
Yeah. There's a couple of states. I mean, I'm doing a lot of virtual readings with different bookstores. Tonight I'm doing a reading with a bookstore in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which sounds very cool. So I did a reading in New York. I have another reading in New York. I have a reading upstate. I have a reading in Portland, two readings in Portland, Oregon that are live, and another one in Boston this Saturday.
But you're not really going to those places. You're doing.
No, I'm going to those places.
Oh, are you?
Those
okay.
Are real. Those are real. Yeah.
Okay.
Portland, Boston, Brooklyn, Manhattan, and upstate New York are real.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was just seeing if you were going to go to Chicago. When you've been to Chicago, have you been going with an escort named Bill Young? You remember him?
Of course. Bill is very famous.
Well, Bill is very close friends with the mayor of Chicago and the mayor of Chicago's wife.
Oh.
So if you're going to Chicago, I want you to be aware of that because you mentioned them in your book. So
I do mention them in the book. Yes, absolutely. Okay. I would love to meet them. But so I'm going to press my publicist to try to get me to good old Chicago. I love that town.
Okay. Well, Gary, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And whenever I think about you, the image I have is you being bribed by your grandmother with a slice of cheese.
Yes, that inspired me to write books because she would pay me one piece of cheese per page, which is exactly what Random House paid me. So wonderful. Yeah.
And it was delicious cheese, wasn't it?
It was delicious. Soviet cheese was the best cheese. Bring it back.
Well, I'm hoping that your next book is only 3 years away. Are you working on anything?
Yes.
Yes?
No, not yet. Not yet. This one came so quickly that, lightning doesn't strike twice. But I promise that at least in 4 years, you will definitely have another book.
Okay. Well, it's always so good to talk to you. My guest has been Gary Steingart.
Likewise.
His book is Our Country Friends, just out, getting a lot of buzz. They're calling it the first great pandemic book, and I think it's probably going to be the last great pandemic book for the Book Nook.
Oh, gosh.
I'm Vic Bacutis.